Right. Who can claim income support?
Do we have 18?
Some people under 18 can claim. Who are the main area of people that we deal with? A generalisation for most of the people we see coming in.
Most people?
Unemployed. Yeah. So people who are unemployed can claim income support. Any other people apart from people who are unemployed that can claim income support?
Those on low income.
Low income, yes.
Training
courses.
Like ET.
Right, they're actually paid a training allowance, which is related to income support, but it isn't their income support. Mm-hmm. Anyone else who might receive income support?
Old age pensioners.
Pensioners, yes. Yes, but they normally receive their their own benefits, yes, related to disability. But yes, they can if they don't receive enough from other means. Yeah. There's one other group of people that might be able to claim.
One parent family.
Yeah, single parents. Yes. It's another very common one.
Oh,
what was
that?
I think Jerry
just killed the clue. Yeah, single parents. Right. So what factors decide what you get under income support?
Need-based and means-tested.
Yeah, yeah. So looking at somebody's needs, what are the sort of things they're likely to take into account?
Money going into the house.
How many
are in
the family?
Income. How many in the family? Yes. Number of children.
Is that opposed to number of adults then?
As well as. Financial commitments.
Mortgage.
Yes, mortgage will. They will help with mortgage. What happens about rent?
Guess the housing benefit.
Yeah, they can claim housing benefit. That isn't income support, that's another benefit that they claim from the local authority. So if they're in rented accommodation, then they will need to make a claim to the local authority for that. What other things might DSS take into account?
Poll tax savings.
Savings. You mentioned poll tax. Mm. Another thing you can claim is relief from paying poll tax. So it's not directly linked with income support. You claim relief from the people who collect the poll tax. But the fact that you are claiming income support is a factor that they look at. So if you're in receipt of income support, then you don't have to pay very much.
So who are these people then that you get relief from if you want to help with income?
Right. You would claim that from the local authority in the same way as housing benefit.
But housing benefit is more of an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Savings. Something else that will relate to number of children, adults, is also the ages of the people in the house.
What, just of the children or of the adults as well?
Well, once they're over 18, age is immaterial. But there are a couple of different rates at which the income support is paid, depending on how old the child is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about the other end of the scale? From the other 65 or 75 or 80?
Right. As I understand it, there's no bounding at that end.
That's strange, isn't it? Because there's a lot of pensions that are triggered off by the age of the elderly.
But of course, there are things that, I mean, there is the pension, there is also attendance allowance, there are various things like that which are outside this.
Yeah. But they will take into account any special help that is needed for somebody who's disabled.
Washing extra money for what? I've got lots of washing to do.
Special help if somebody's disabled. Oh, you're right, there's a pension premium as well.
Yes,
sorry. Right. So let's have a look. Has anyone not seen the big one? Right.
I've only seen the back of it, I haven't looked
really. So how many do we need? Your rate of allowances aren't there because they go out of date so fast, so I've put an extra 1 each with the rate of allowances.
Thanks. 91.
And there's 92. Also, you may or may not have the form which you claim relief for community charge and housing benefit inside the form.
You have to have another one if you're if you're not in council accommodation, one of them which we issue as well. Out of the goodness of our heart. We get so much stuff from the NCA to do that.
Right. So, can I wipe this side off?
Yes. That's not fair, is it? If you're 18 to 24 years old and you bring your child in the room, you get the same 25 years and older.
Right. So, if we look at a typical family, we have wife and husband both over 18. Both over 18, how much would they get?
62.25.
That's it. £62.25. Okay. Now, if they had a child who's 4 years old, how much would they get?
£13.35.
Yeah. Okay. And then another child who is 16. Right, it's all right. And what about if they're 14?
£19.75.
There you go. addition to that, there is a premium because they are a family, and the premium because they have at least one child is £7.95. In addition to the okay.
I don't think
you've
had 6 children
on the
floor,
would
you?
Oh, well, quite happy. Going back to what Joey said, you
so we've got a total income coming a total amount of benefit now of £103.30. For this family. Okay? Now, they will also be entitled to child benefit. Okay? So, child benefit for two children, it's £9.25 for the first, £7.25 for the second. So that's £16.50.
It's
not.
Sneaky beaky, yeah.
So the for the oldest child, it's £7.25. Sorry, it's not on there.
What is it?
£9.25 for the first child, and then £7.25 for second child, making £16.50 in total. This would then be treated as income by DSS, and so this amount would be reduced by £16.50. An idea of how they do it. Don't try to counsel somebody and tell them how much income support they're going to get, because that's very, very basic. There are lots and lots of other things the DSS can take into account.
Leave it to the Citizens
Advice Bureau. Leave it to the Citizens Advice Bureau or the DSS.
Okay, sorry for the DSS. The Citizens Advice Bureau have got a list to make sure that the people get all their entitled. The Citizens Advice Bureau have got a pro forma, which if a person goes in and says, I think I ought to be getting, I don't think I'm getting sufficient income support, or I'm going to apply for income support, what should I get? And they go through and tell them what they should get. Which I would find very trying, if I was in the DSS, I suppose, honestly.
Right. So having issued B1, where's it got to go?
The DSS.
Right, so it goes to the DSS. Which one?
One near. near which they live.
So it's not specifically related to the benefit office where they're signing. It's based on where they live. And so you might find that some offices have to think of two or three DSS offices and refer various people to various ones, depending on where they live.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, when you had that bundle of handouts all stapled together, which I didn't expect, there was a list of the DSS offices together with guidance on their address. Now, I just want to check that you've all got that. If you haven't, I've got a list here that I can let you have. Just like that. Mm-hmm.
questions so far? Right, so when do you issue a B1?
At fresh claims, change of circumstances.
Fresh claims. What do you mean by change of circumstances?
They change their address or something, or they live with somebody else, or they move out from somebody.
Yeah. Change of, let's say, personal circumstances might be linked in with a change of address, it might not. Yeah?
Also, when they run out of UB.
When they run out of UB. Yes? Any other times when they might issue one? Situation where you have somebody who has left their job, wasn't clear at the time what the circumstances were, you may find when you have the reply back from the employer that you have to suspend that employment benefit. In that instance, you could issue a B1 so that it would have some money coming in. So, if unemployment benefit is suspended, another circumstance which might arise is somebody expects to receive unemployment benefit and then finds that they're not entitled because of contribution problems. Yes.
Always give a B1 in my
opinion. That's right. They may, the only thing is they may not wish to take one. You don't have to claim. And they may say, no, I don't want to claim. In which case that's fair enough. That some future time you may decide on it.
If a person refuses UB, they should take, you should issue them a relief.
Refuses
IS,
mm-hmm.
You should issue them with the basic lease that's telling them about IS,
mm-hmm.
So that they're aware of what they've refused.
That's a very good precaution to take, yes. It's a very good idea.
If anyone refuses that you'll be IS rather, I was given a leaflet. So that you are sure I'm not calling them.
So before we issue, before we hand over the B1, what do we do? You fill in the back. Yes? We'll be giving you some exercises later about filling in the back.
Who would do this though? I mean, it wouldn't just be anyone could do this, fill out the back, and that's being an error, does it?
No, it doesn't have to be an error. The only thing is that if what does happen occasionally is somebody comes from the VSS offices and they've been told, I need a B1. What they haven't been told is that they actually have to make a claim for benefit and come and sign
every
on every fortnight.
It happens every day.
Yes. And so then they're a bit miffed that instead of the B1, they're being asked to complete a UB461, a UB671. They then have to come to an appointment and be interviewed. Whereas in actual fact, I don't want all this, all I want is a B1. But they have to make a claim before you can issue a B1.
And the DSS can't issue
B1s
unless they've gone through the procedure.
That's right. In fact, DSS don't issue B1s. We have to issue B1s.
I wonder if they don't
tell
the clients that.
Because they have new people on the counter. And
good question.
It happens every single day when they've got problems. Go down and get a B1. when you have an emergency. Go to wards.
How long does it take for income support to come through once a claim has been made?
According to the manager, 5.5 days in this area.
5.5 days.
They can get it immediately. Well, see, I'd get it immediately, rather than where that coming from.
I would have thought it could easily take 10 days.
Two weeks. When they have problems not so long ago, it was taking a month.
Mm.
Well,
6 weeks.
They have targets, like they all have, and one of their targets is how quickly they can turn around the claim with money.
Mm.
What does the claimant do? They've got no money then for 6 weeks if they take 6 weeks. They get, I think they can, I don't feel what I say, but they can get a crisis.
They can get a crisis though. They don't. They can also get paid early, direct by DSS. DSS will actually pay them, rather than telling us to pay them.
But is it up to them to actually go to DSS and say, I want to pay them?
That's right.
Yes,
so if you get someone in that situation who is saying, look, I'm desperate for money, I've claimed income support, I've heard nothing, and you haven't been told how much they're entitled to, then they can actually go to the DSS office and say that they need some money urgently. And DSS may make a payment.
May not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it depends on the circumstances, and you're not in a position to say what DSS will or won't do. So you can only say they may make a payment. I think they would do, under most circumstances. It would only be if they suspected something odd was going on. Okay, and how do DSS tell us how much to pay income support?
B2.
Right. Before I ask you to complete the B1, there's one more thing we need to talk about. And that is about what happens when someone leaves a job of their own accord. So what happens when somebody leaves a job of their own accord? What happens to their unemployment benefit?
Suspended pending inquiries.
Yeah.
But not that it's suspended, but it's not disallowed.
That's right. So
what's
the difference?
Well, it's suspended pending inquiries, so it's in suspension, right? We're looking into the reasons. If they don't like the outcome of our deliberations, they have a right of appeal.
But when an adjudication officer has made a decision, they will then allow or disallow.
Yes.
So So at first the claim is suspended, and then when you have a decision from the adjudication officer, it is then allowed or disallowed.
And then they can appeal.
Well, you went up in stages. You went to 13 weeks, and then you went to 26 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a deterrent which never has had any effect on at all.
That's
not the reason behind it. It's a deterrent for people giving up their jobs. But nobody knew about it. People don't know about it now.
So
if they immediately fall back on IS, I mean,
yeah. Now, just what I was going to say, what happens then to income support?
Paid at a reduced rate
for the period of the suspension.
I thought if it's disqualified, you can disqualify then. Income support pays normally.
No.
If it's allowed, they would have a reason, income support to pay. If it's disallowed, then they would have had their entitlement in that they would have been paid for a reduced rate during the period of the disallowance.
And would you still get the income support after that, but still to reduced rate to or not?
Right. Once we're out of the 26-week period, it would go back to its normal rate.
They were talking about
Yeah, when the AO has made the decision. If
and
it was disallowed,
mm-hmm.
they carry on getting the reduced rate of IS.
That's right. Yes.
And they still get paid then?
Yes.
What is the reduced rate?
Right, I'll go on to talk about that in a minute.
Right,
I've got a handout on the reduced rate. Yes. I'm going to be giving you a handout which gives you information about how it's calculated.
I never tell people it's going to be a reduced rate. Well, no, because they just go bananas and do. But be careful.
What do we call that reduction? Deduction?
The.
Right. Yeah, VUDs. I don't know if you've heard that term at all. Around. What does it stand for?
Well, the deduction.
Yeah. Voluntarily. Let's try that again. Unemployed. Deduction. Okay. Details of any deductions that are being made are held on the inquiry screen 4. The reduction is made on the personal rate of benefit. So in this instance, it would be made on half, if the husband had left his job of his own accord, it would be made on half of that amount. No, that's why it would be made, the deduction would be made on half of that amount.
Oh, I see.
No. The deduction would be based on...
The deduction isn't half that amount, it's made on half that amount.
It's, and it is 40% of that.
Made on the what?
Deduction.
Oh, they'd love to make it on.
So...
So, can you give us an example then?
Yes. I'm just trying to...
The amount would be
individual is receiving in income support, not on the whole family. Yes, just the individual, and that one portion of the income support is reduced by 40%.
So, what's 40% of
£31.25?
£12.
Does it pay rent? Yeah, it's about £12 a week.
If you're not on that rate,
what if you're a single person and you're getting 39 something?
Then you have got 86, that doesn't need much money.
But do you get the reduced rate? Is it reduced 40% for all sort of categories, whether you're married or single?
Yes.
I thought there were exceptions if the person was pregnant or something, if there's a pregnant person in the class.
There are exceptions. So the majority of people will be subject to a 40% deduction on their personal benefit, on their personal rate. Okay? The deduction will only be made if a suspension is held on our computer. So if somebody forgets to put the suspension
on.
In other words, if you take a claim, you're doing it because of no good service. But if there's any doubt, by not suspending it immediately.
Because
they can always get the arrears, and they get very uptight if they get too much and then it's reduced.
Mm.
Can I
better the other way around.
Yeah.
Can I ask you to go back?
Yeah?
Something like screens at the end.
No, no, that's fine.
Claims suspended for 26 weeks by Alfred Soul.
Yes.
Therefore, if there's life income support, that is also reduced by the 40%.
Yeah.
Right. What if their unemployment benefit was disqualified? The adjudication officer, we suspended the adjudication officer's right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. What happens to their income support? Do they still continue to receive at the reduced rate?
That's right. For the period of the disallowance.
Yeah.
And it will then revert back to full rate.
And the disallowance can be
up to 26 weeks.
Yeah. Some people can actually have a reduction made of 20% instead. If in this family the wife was expecting a baby, then it would be a 20% deduction. Also, if one or other of the partners, well, it would have to be the partner that wasn't signing, was seriously ill, deduction will be 20%, providing the condition attached that they had savings of less than £200.
Assuming then that the person that was playing
isn't working. Isn't working, but hasn't had the sack. Perhaps they've been made redundant. Perhaps their partner's had the sack. It depends on the person that has been made redundant to make the claim, the claim for the other person.
And
there's
no
reduction.
Yeah, because you very often find women with a very long term and have babies.
deciding not to go back to the job when each job she stepped over to. And this and that, and 6 months, and then coming in the time and get it started to do it.
I hope this doesn't cause you a problem, but the rates of benefit have changed since very slightly since 1st of October 91. And the handout I've got here, which I couldn't tie in just now when I was trying to do the deduction, is because the rates are very slightly different. It's about 30 pence or so more than actually what we were talking about. So I'm sorry about that. I'll get the other one updated. But what you've got now, if you want to pass those round, and I'll explain what that says.
Is this one the same as we got in that wad again?
Oh, you have one in the wad, did you?
In
the one that I shouldn't have had, which we did have.
Oh, it's been a good week.
That'll make life interesting. You're quite right, we've got nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at that. Appendix H20. The third category, which you can see there, 0 to 4, that tells you the amount of income support which the for which the deduction is appropriate.
Hang on a minute. Are we looking at the 8th of
April?
No, we're looking at page 2.
Yeah.
Right.
Summer, April, summer, October, and all mixed up. Wonderful. Okay, October. Anyone else need
yes,
the October?
Please,
all
right.
Would you please destroy the other one? The latest one. Right. So if you have a look at that, the VU category 0 to 4, that shows the amount of weekly rate to which the VUD can be applied. So that shows how much we're going to apply our deduction to. Okay? And then you can see the rates for which the deduction can be applied to the other side. So a single under 18 or a couple both under 18, £23.90. That should relate to the allowances you had before.
Right. That's 12.55.
So, if a 40% deduction is made on category 2, then somebody receiving £31.40 a week would actually be reduced by £12.55. You see how that works? Right, if you look at category 2,
they're
a receipt of £31.40.
Yeah.
So if you look at category 2 down below, 40% deduction applied for a full week,
£12.55.
Okay? So the VU category shows the amount of income support that the deduction is being based on, and then the VU indicator indicates whether it's rate 1 or rate 2, and indicates whether it's a 20% or a 40% deduction. Now right at the beginning of the claim, you can have an odd number of days
before the first benefit we get in there. I've also got an indicator on the B2 to say how those days should be treated. There will be a number, which will be the number, should be the number of days before the benefit retaining day in the first week of the claim. Right, any questions on that?
Only one, and that is, mm-hmm. You can miss this information.
Right.
But there's a commencement that says, don't tell them.
Go so far as to say that you will be safe in saying that as your benefit is suspended, your income support for you, not for your family but for you, will be reduced. It will probably be reduced by 40%. Yeah?
But if you look at the B2, it makes sense. I mean, I've looked at B2s and I haven't really understood what the 1s, 2s, and 3s for, but that makes sense to me. So people who are inputting B2s, benefit people, it makes more sense to them to know what they're inputting.
We'll be having you look at some B2s and we'll pick up this bit about buds and the coding, which you have a look at.
It's knowing how much information you give to the client, how much to keep back, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
It's what we give to the client and then we give the same info to our own.
So, I've now got a handout for you. You'll be up to date. About how to complete a B1. Yeah, anyone else want to stretch their legs a second?
It's quite an important one really.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm using it all the time.
Copies of blank B1, but the handout is getting rather. Right. So if we're looking at, we complete B1. Note the reverse of the UB80B. pass it to the client with an envelope to send to the right DSS office.
Sorry, what
did
you say? I can't remember. Is it?
That's the one, the shopping list.
Oh, the shopping list, yeah.
I hate to tell you, the DSS are on an economy campaign and they no longer issue envelopes.
They no longer issue envelopes.
They don't use bars, then you have to write the address on the front.
Oh, they don't.
They don't in here either.
And then if it's in another area, which invariably is, if you've got your B1 for someone like Trevor.
coverage of sometimes fish ponds in Bath or Chippenham, you don't have to ring up the assessor for the address.
Hopefully the list will give you the address, although it depends how far away it is. Contact the assessor to get the address.
Actually, it's stupid that business about the envelopes. Since they've been an agency, they're saving money.
I rang up last week and I managed to get some boxes from them.
Did you?
But they sent the just the prepaid ones without the addresses on them.